Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news and networks reviews to use. No doubt starts now. This is the broadcast for October the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two, ladies and gentlemen, and our goal always is to promote God, family, and country, and protect life, liberty, and property on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a lot to cover today, a lot of hard-hitting news the network refused to use, that's for sure. And I'll tell you what, there's just never an end to the hard-hitting news that we can cover on your radio. As you know, our goal is to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property, and to stand for the sacred cause of liberty. 6 days a week, 2 hours a day, we take to the airwaves to tell you the tale of liberty, and on the Sabbath, we rest with rare exception. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. We had a phenomenal time on the radio, folks. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Man, there's a lot to cover, Kurt, and not a lot of time to get it done. Do you have a comment? Did you get to hear any of the Red Pill Expo events or details over the Friday, Saturday we were live, et cetera?
Well, I sure got to hear all the guests and, you know, that we've had on, and you know, the ones that you've lined up, you know, and of course people we've known for years. You know, I mean, I just suggest to people everywhere to become familiar with that kind of thing, and of course, as they say, don't take the blue pill, take the red pill. Yeah. Anyway, that would be my recommendation.
So, Kurt, what do you say? Do you think it was worthwhile?
Well, of course. I mean, I've never been to any of these events when I thought, well, I should have had about 100,000 more people there and a million more listeners or whatever. But, you know, you're always grateful for those good, solid folks who participate, both presenters and participants. But as always, anytime you go to something that's well worth it, you always wish you had more folks there, right?
Yeah, we got to get Kurt excited. He's half asleep. We can hardly hear him, man. You got to get fired up, buddy. I'm in Florida, Kurt.
Well, maybe that's why it's hard for you to hear me, Sam.
Because I'm in Florida.
So far away, you know. I mean, it's possible. But anyway, I know that when I look at, of course, the agenda and see the situation in America and the world, where things are now, I know that things like the Red Pill Expo are even more important than they've ever been.
Yeah, you're right about that fact, Kurt. You know, one of the big things that G. Edward Griffin, one of the big things he talked about and one of the main points he made was, listen, if they're going to destroy America, they're going to do it by separating us, to isolating us, to where we don't feel love for one another, we're afraid to be near one another, we don't communicate with one another, and we just simply fall out of associations with one another. And therefore, hey, that fire can't continue to grow. That fire in the hearts of men and women for the sacred cause of liberty just cannot grow, because when you separate everybody, pretty soon they're just by themselves and the fire just gets cold and goes out. And when you stand together, then the fire burns bright, you know, just like logs in a fire. And he kind of compared that to, you know, social distancing is not very social, and we need to really stand together and meet together and greet one another and spend time together and shake hands and give hugs and freely associate. And when we do, then liberty grows stronger. And it was a really valuable point, I felt, about what's going on in society and in America today. They have a goal to really kind of separate us all. And at the convention, literally nobody was wearing masks. I know they're going to say we're going to kill everybody. I understand. But, you know, people weren't wearing masks. People were spending time together. People enjoyed each other's company. People were able to shake hands and give hugs and meet and greet. And, you know, it felt like things were normal, Kurt.
Well, I'm sure that was refreshing. You know, it's refreshing to me to go anywhere and not see those, as Dr. Scott Bradley calls them, the little diapers on people's faces. You know, it's back to the old, I guess back to the future, or back to the old ways that it was. And you know, you just appreciate folks, understanding that sometimes you might come into contact with some kind of bad thing, but, you know, the duties that you have is to take care of yourself and others around you, and that doesn't mean you have to stay in some bubble, you know, where only you can participate, you know. America survived for a long time without masks all over the face. In fact, the only masked people were the criminals, and now, you know, we've got it where everybody thinks that the good guys wear a mask, you know.
Amen to that. It was a very, very special event, in my opinion. A lot got done. A lot was covered. The speakers were just out of this world good, in my opinion, Kurt. We had so many guests, it was shocking how many guests we really had on the radio. We talked to Nancy J. Wolf. She was an author about a book called Conscious Matrix, and it relates to our portal to God. And she talked about how, you know, even in science, they don't believe in God, but she has done some scientific research and studies that really, really ties us to God, you know what I mean? And that was kind of important. Imagine a scientist that believes in and says, hey, evidence points to our relationship with God that matters. It was tremendous. It was really, really an important interview. That'll be coming up. We talked to David Hart, Treasure Island Coins. RedPillMoney.net is his website, talking about gold and silver. This guy says, I don't believe in numismatic coins. I want to stick with the bullion. I want to get you guys as close to spot as I possibly can with my pricing. And I want to get gold and silver in the hands of Americans everywhere. We talked to Richard Mack, obviously, had him on, and he gave us a tremendous update from his event at Liberty University that just took place, and how the sheriffs were rallying, and it was a similar event. People were there meeting and greeting and enjoying each other's company. Something to behold. Second hour on Friday, we talked to our guest Stuart Rhodes, Guardians of the Republic, oathkeepers.org. And we talked about the Oath Keepers Louisville operation that's taking place. The Oath Keepers are helping out with natural disasters and riots and protecting people at Trump rallies, and they're just all over the place doing a phenomenal job. We had our guest on, Kathy Smith, founder, CEO of Loving Liberty Radio Network, lovingliberty.net, that was there prominently with one of the most recognizable central booths. We were broadcasting live from there. We had our guest on, Elizabeth Fairchild, a millennial, doing a great job with her Instagram, Supernatural, her Instagram feed. She doesn't even have a website. She's such a millennial, Kurt. Anyway, attendees from the crowd jumped on the radio to share their experiences with the Red Pill Expo. It was a tremendous event that was absolutely more than worthwhile. Anyway, I literally recorded a bunch of extra interviews because we couldn't even be live the whole time, Kurt. I was live 4 hours on, or 2 hours on Friday before the event started, 2 hours live for the event, and I couldn't even get close to covering enough information. So literally I recorded, I think, 15 guests or something crazy, 13 guests, something like that. And so tomorrow, while we're flying back, we'll play a lot of those guest interviews that we did. On Wednesday, we'll play some of the guest interviews we did. We've just got a lot to catch up on from the expo. But here's the cool part about the expo. For $35, you can go to redpillexpo.com and pay for a stream. And, you know, you missed it live, but all the presentations are available on demand. And so you don't get the meet and greet part because you'll be in your own home. Like we got, just tremendous. And you won't get to see all the businesses at their booths and everything. But you will get to hear the tremendous interviews that we've done for free. And then you will get a Red Pill Expo stream that you'll be able to listen to all the different presentations for the next 60 days. Basically, Red Pill University offering that. So redpillexpo.com. Check that out. Spread the word. But $35 gets you all the presentations. It just doesn't get cheaper than that, Kurt. It just really doesn't. So we'll move forward now. Lowell Nelson's with us, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, my friend.
Well, thanks for having me, gentlemen. Good to be with you.
Are you going to sign up for the Red Pill streams, Lowell?
It sure sounds interesting, Sam. The way you market that thing and talk about it, it looks absolutely interesting. You know, one of the presentations I was most interested in is by a doctor there who believes that through nutrition, she has been successful to help over 1,500 children overcome autism. And, you know, I don't know if that was one of the things that you went to, but I'm keenly interested in that because I'm a grandfather of several children who are on the autism spectrum. And so, I'm interested in learning what she knows about nutrition that can help that condition. So that's my particular interest, but there's a whole ton more in addition to that that's really, really good.
Yeah, so Del Bigtree was there speaking about vaccinations in detail, too. He's getting more bold by the second. As you know, they've taken him off everything, Lowell. But what's interesting is the more they try to shut him down, the bigger he gets. He just launched his own video show every Thursday at highwire.com. And he's literally breaking it down like nobody's business on video. Del Bigtree doing a great job and getting more bold by the second. The more they shut him down, the more evidence he produces. It is amazing, sir. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, in just seconds on your favorite News the Networks Refuse to Use talk radio station.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
Being there with your child and being there for your child are two completely different things. One denotes a simple presence, which is a start, but can also be accomplished by someone other than you.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
See, that sheep did a fine job of being there with the child, but it didn't do a very good job of being there for the child. Now listen to the difference an involved parent can make.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
I'm not very good at algebra, but do you have any English questions? Because I done real good in English.
Oh, Mom.
Okay, let's take a look.
Okay, so the algebra problem didn't get solved, but something better happened. Mom was there for her child. And when you're really there, they'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
And you're live, ladies, or we're live, ladies and gentlemen. You're live, too, I guess. I'm glad you're alive. That's wonderful. We are live. I'm on the road in Florida. Kurt Crosby's in the studio. Lil Nelson riding shotgun today on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, the Red Pill Expo was tremendous. Enough of that. I'm just telling you the speakers are available and everybody can participate. RedPillExpo.com. Get the streaming option in the comfort of your own home today. Now, moving right along, Proposition 9 is happening in Utah County. Now you say, Sam, why on a national/worldwide show would you be talking about Utah County? Because I believe that a lot of things are going on around in the country very similar in your neighborhood. It's coming to a theater near you, if you will.
battles on the proper role of constitutional limited government are happening everywhere. And a lot of times, if you're not very careful, it can be very deceiving. You can be deceived into thinking things are better when they're much worse. Oftentimes you go, well, that's not a bad idea. But when you scrutinize, oh boy, the proper lens makes things clear, lol.
Yeah, sure does, Sam. And that's the backstory on this story, this proposal change of government here in Utah County, by the way, is that Bill Lee has been in the Utah County Commission, rock solid liberty guy. And then there's two others, because we have a three-member commission here in Utah County. Two others decided to ram through a tax increase and successfully did that. One of which lost his election in the primary against another liberty candidate. So they realize now they're going to lose the commission for at least 2 years, and they don't think they can dislodge Bill 2 years from now. So all of the establishment guys, they think they've lost the commission now for good, for at least the next 6 years. And so they're doing an end run, and they're wanting a change of government to expand the number of commissioners to five. And in doing so, they'll be able to again, put the good guys in a minority position instead of a majority position on the commission. Plus, they'll have a mayor-council form of government if they get their wish here, and the mayor will have executive power. And to overturn the mayor is almost impossible under this mayor-council form of government, as I will explain why. But, yeah, I think that's the backstory, Sam. I think that the establishment guys are upset that they have lost power, and the imminent future they're going to not have any power for the next at least two years, probably 6 years, and so they're wanting to change the rules of the game. They're going to move the goalposts and change the form of commission. So all I'm telling you is that as a general rule or general principle for anybody listening who's not in Utah County, you got to be aware of what's going on, because this sounds really good, this proposal. Let's expand the commission from 3 to 5 members so that we have more voices coming to the table. Better representation, they call it. And but that's very, very misleading as to what's actually going on behind the scenes. Now, they would divide Utah County into 5 districts of roughly equal population. And I won't go into all the description of that, but it's very clear, you know, 5 different districts, the north, the south, the west, and then a north central and a south central districts of Utah. And so now, under the new form of government, you'd get to elect just one of the 5 commissioners. And then not only would they not be full-time, as our current 3 commissioners are full-time, these 5 members of the commission would be part-time. They would be paid $20,000 per year, no benefits, to do a part-time job for the county. And effectively, that puts in the hands of this new mayor all of the power. And he would be paid $120,000 annually plus benefits. So basically, he'd become a little tyrant in the county, and everything would run through him. And to veto one of his decisions, one of his executive decisions, if there are 5 members of the council present, you need 4 out of the 5 to veto something that the mayor wanted to do, right? So 3 out of 5 would not be a veto, because it takes 75% of a quorum to veto the mayor's decision. And so if you had 4 people there, you need 3 out of the 4. And if you only have 3 people there, you could not overturn a decision of the mayor. You could not veto his decision. Now, there's this one other thing that I want to mention about this particular proposal. The very people who are making this proposal are also the very people who pushed for this 67% tax increase in the Utah County last year. They are the very people who argued for the tax increase in 2018. And so you know the tree by its fruit. That's what I'm saying. You know the tree by its fruit. And so you look at the fruit of the group that's been pushing this change in government proposal, and then you ask yourself, what's their fruit? Well, the fruit is an increase in taxes, year after year. And if, so if you don't want this tax increase here in Utah County, then if you live in Utah County, please vote no on Proposition 9. We've got you know, a number of other things we could talk about, but they're fairly unique to Utah County. And so we probably don't need to go into all of them.
Let me make one more thing clear so people understand. When you take the three-member county commission right now, how much are they each paid?
Oh, they're each paid something. I don't know exactly, but between $80,000 and $90,000 a year, I think, right now. So they're full-time jobs.
Okay, so the idea would be to reduce those people to less time and turn it to five of them.
Yep.
So now you got five people supposedly looking at things less.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you've got is a mayor who's full-time. That's where the most of the money shifts to, if you will.
Yeah, paid $120,000 grand.
And the idea now is he is full-time. So as he spends full-time, he's got five people looking over his shoulder part-time. In other words, what we're doing is playing games with the checks and balances, because you would say, well, hey, it's great to have an executive side of things, like you have a legislative side of things. The part that everyone is missing is that it empowers the mayor with full-time capability, which means he can work full-time, he can get a staff of people doing things for him, he can get all kind of things going over time, and the county commissioner's hands end up being tied this way. It looks like it's a fair deal, but the truth is, when you change the game like that, what you do is you give one man much more power, several people a lot less power, and you deceive the people by saying, oh, well, there's more people involved. Where there used to be three, now there's five plus the mayor, there's six. So we're really actually spreading, quote, democracy out. And what that is a lie. The truth is, we need the government closest to the people, and this takes government out of the hands of the people and puts it in the hands of the mayor, and the poor county commissioners literally end up being in a situation where they've got a bird seat to watch the mayor abuse his power, but no real control to stop him. Why? Because the thresholds are too great. Where it used to take two, now it takes four. And so they're playing games with how checks and balances work and deceiving the public is what's happening, Lowell.
Yeah, that's a great point, Sam. In fact, there are other executive powers that run independent of the commission right now. So if you want to talk about balance of powers and separation of powers, we got the county attorney, the sheriff, the clerk auditor, the treasurer, the assessor, the surveyor, and the recorder. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 other people. So currently,
and by the way, all those different people oversee things from a different vantage point. Let's be clear.
Yeah. They do, and they are each independently elected by the people of the county. Every single one of those goes through an election. They're fully accountable to the people in the county, and they perform certain executive duties. And so there's already an excellent system of the separation of powers and checks and balances in the county under the current form of government. These three full-time commissioners, by the way, and I'll make this my last point, they govern the non-incorporated areas of Utah County, which is growing smaller and smaller every year as the cities grow. They annex portions of the county, you know, the unincorporated area of the county, into their cities. And so most of this explosive growth that's coming to Utah County is being handled by the individual cities where most of that growth is occurring. The actual number of people in living in the unincorporated area of the county is 8,500 people, Sam. 8,500 people that the county, you know, to live in the unincorporated area of the county, that the county has responsibilities for, you know, police protection, fire protection, that kind of thing. And so it's very myopic, short-sighted, in my opinion, for us to be spending more on county government to accommodate the growth of population in the county when most of that growth occurs in the cities, not the county. Sam?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. A quick pause straight ahead. When we come back, we're going to rock and roll on a bunch of points Lowell has relating to the coronavirus, what a sham it's turned out to be. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Senate Judiciary Committee is beginning the confirmation hearing for Supreme Court Justice nominee Amy Coney Barrett. Democratic vice presidential candidate Senator Kamala Harris serves on the Judiciary Committee and will participate remotely in the hearings. As far as what to expect in the hearings, Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley.
They can't attack her personally, but they're sure going to go after her strict construction of laws and the Constitution because they don't like that.
President Trump has a full campaign scheduled this week after his recovery from the coronavirus. He'll hit the key swing states of Florida and Pennsylvania today and Tuesday, followed by events in Iowa and North Carolina Wednesday and Thursday. Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden with two stops today in Ohio and also taking part in a town hall on Thursday. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I had begun to notice after 10 days with Balance of Nature, I felt better, more energetic. And believe me, for me, that's something because I have energy anyway. But as old as I am, that was really something to start really noticing. You know, we're all responsible for choosing what our attitudes are, but I had a better mental outlook. I mean, I always try to be positive, but there were subtle things in me that I began to notice. I just felt a difference with this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
The curfew in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, a suburb of Milwaukee, ends today. It's been an unusual few days for people in one neighborhood since the Wisconsin National Guard started showing up every night with Humvees and armored trucks to protect the city from rioting. This man had people rioting and trespassing in his yard, and he decided he had had enough.
I was frustrated. I was fed up. And really the last straw was looking out my window and seeing the gentleman on the motorcycle riding through my lawn, and something in me clicked, and I said internally, no more, and came running out of my house and was prepared to confront whatever it was I was going to confront.
Jason Fritz speaking there on Fox News. Rioters in Portland Sunday night toppled statues of former presidents Theodore Roosevelt and Abraham Lincoln. The rampage in a portion of downtown also saw criminals smash windows at Portland State University's police office, the Oregon Historical Society, and a number of other businesses. USA Radio News.
All right, live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Lil Nelson, Kurt Crosby, campaignforliberty.org. Ladies and gentlemen, we have good news, but in a way it's bad news. But the good news is the World Health Organization, the WHO, has a couple of admissions for you. 8 months after tyranny, lockdowns, manipulations, deception, dishonesty, they're finally having a little bit of the truth. Lil?
This first bit of truth will knock your socks off. And then the one we talk about after that will just blow your socks way off.
Okay, triple so solidify the point? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I guess so. So the World Health Organization has finally confirmed, folks, what many experts and many studies have been saying for months, which is that the coronavirus is no more deadly or dangerous than the seasonal flu. The WHO's top brass made this announcement during a special session of the WHO's 34-member executive board on Monday, October 5th. That's just 1 week ago. 7 days ago, they met. And they made this announcement, but nobody there seemed to really understand it. They were making the statement, attempting to spin it as a bad thing without realizing what positive news it really was. So what they were saying was that about 10%, and according to their nearest estimate, about 10% of the world's population has been infected by COVID-19. Well, folks, there are 7.8 billion people on Earth, and so if 10% have been infected, that is 780 million cases, okay, almost a billion, but 780 million. The death toll globally as of October 8th, stands at 1,061,539. Now, you do the math on that. That puts the infection fatality rate, the IFR, they call it, infection fatality rate, at approximately 0.14%, right in line with seasonal flu and predictions of real experts around the world, real experts meaning common doctors and nurses, epidemiologists, who differ from the official narrative promoted by Fauci and others who were proclaiming this to be like a 3.4% IFR, which is about, you know, 12 times larger than it really is that they're admitting right now. So if this is really just the same thing as a common flu, this also then substantiates what we reported last week, which is that everyone in the world has a little bit of COVID in them anyway, which is and has been the common cause of cold and flu-like symptoms of people for decades. In other words, this so-called novel coronavirus is just like its siblings in the family of coronavirus, not so novel after all. It's just like the common flu, basically, is what they had just admitted just 7 days ago, Sam. That's the truth.
Now, I want to mention, this is really important what is being reported here, because it really highlights the truth. The World Health Administration admits this. Now, I'm normally pretty complimentary of President Trump. He's trying to do a good job. But when he divorces himself from the WHO, and now the WHO's the only one coming out and admitting this truth, it kind of creates a problem, because the WHO's doubling down and admitting what a lot of experts and studies have been saying for months, that, hey, this is no more dangerous than the flu. Now, you add John Rappaport's evidence to this, and by the way, he was one of the speakers at the expo with a tremendous speech. His headline is "The Smoking Gun: Where Is the Coronavirus?" The CDC, now that's our own Center for Disease Control, so now you got the WHO and the CDC, they say that it doesn't even exist. Lol.
That's right. Buried on page 39 of a document about the COVID-19 PCR diagnostic panel. Okay, so that's basically, they're talking about a battery of tests called the PCR test for COVID-19. And on page 39, in a section entitled Performance Characteristics, we read the following, quote, "Since no quantified virus isolates of COVID-19 are currently available..."
Hold on a minute now. Say that again. What does that mean? Not available?
Not available. Quantified virus isolate.
Well, maybe the CDC is not, in the in crowd where they can get a copy of that, dude, you know?
So basically,
it's just absurd, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? It's absolutely laughable.
It is laughable. It's totally laughable, because the key phrase here, you know, since no quantified virus isolates of COVID-19 are available... Well, any object that exists, it can be quantified or measured, you know, says
not this one, sir. And if you bring it up, you're a racist.
That's right.
It's crazy. Do you remember being as a kid, lol, going snipe hunting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was invited on a snipe hunt before.
Isn't this like the massive global snipe hunt?
Well, yeah. It's exactly like that, yeah.
This is insane.
The CDC doesn't have the virus, folks. They haven't isolated it. Nobody has an isolated specimen of the COVID-19 virus, folks.
But hold on a minute. You say, well, wait a minute. People have claimed they've isolated it in a lab, lol.
That's what they'll claim, but it's going to be, well, you know, you can...
So maybe we've got to have the CDC people who wrote this debate the doctors who claim they isolated it, huh?
Well, that's what they might say, but they just reported, right? This report is dated, I think I saw somewhere, July 18 was the date on this report, the CDC report. And so as of July 18, the CDC is admitting no virus is available.
All right, now get a load of this. So you got the WHO saying, hey, you know what? The coronavirus, even if you get it, it's just like the flu. Then you got the CDC saying we can't even isolate and get a copy of this thing. Now, believe it or not, John Rappaport spoke at our event, but also Andrew Kaufman. He's a medical doctor, and he gave a speech at the event called "The Pandemic Fraud Runs Much Deeper Than You Think." AndrewKaufmanMD.com, and here's the point he makes. Ready? Unmasking the lies around COVID-19, facts versus fiction in the coronavirus pandemic. So now you've got doctors that are literally standing up, and the point that he made is the same point you're making. They can't isolate the virus because it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So how do you isolate something that doesn't exist? And that's really the problem they're having with this, Lowell. And so when you look at these tests are supposedly searching for something that doesn't exist. And the way they get a positive is they say, we see some abnormalities that we're going to say, whenever we see that abnormality, then we're going to call it COVID. The problem that the doctor points out is, if you're a completely healthy Lowell, you don't have a fever, you don't have antibodies against something, but the sequence shows you have it, but the virus hasn't been isolated to match that sequence, but they claim that sequence means you have a virus that doesn't match because it doesn't exist, but yet you're not sick, but you have the virus, sir. You know what they call those?
What?
Asymptomatic people. Well, even though you're not sick, and even though your body doesn't believe you have a virus, and even though nothing denotes your sickness, and nothing compares to a known isolated virus, we're going to say that you're sick, you just don't know it, you're just a super spreader.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, super spreader of what? Well, the virus, dummy. Okay, the virus that we can't isolate? That is correct, sir. And you go down this circular argument, and then what they resort to is, well, doctor, we're going to get rid of your license. We're going to, and literally, I've got an interview coming up on Liberty Roundtable Live with Dr. Andrew Kaufman right after his speech that highlights this reality that he points out. And he's literally been fired from several people that he worked for and consulted for as a physician because they don't want to hear what he has to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I bring that up. Now, John Rappaport doubles down quite a bit on this. The CDC doubles down. But John's information, in my opinion, dovetails very nicely. The smoking gun, where's the coronavirus? We don't know. But Jeff Deist, now, by the way, this is interesting, who writes for Ron Paul and everybody else, wrote a column about this, the absurdity of COVID cases, which I want to talk about in a quick second, but I want to tell you this. When I went to the Red Pill Expo, believe it or not, the Mises Institute was having an event at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I rolled in there, and guess who was speaking?
Jeff Deist.
That is correct, sir.
Cool.
So anyway, a lot of like-minded people coming on down to Jekyll Island, Georgia, buddy.
That is awesome. It makes me want to buy that $35 stream, man.
Well, now, Jeff didn't speak at the Red Pill, though. He spoke at the Mises Institute event. They were two separate events. They were just happening back-to-back.
Oh, I understand that. But this this address by John Rappaport that you talked about is just totally has my interest. John has done over 20 years, maybe 30 years of investigative reporting. So he's always coming out with great information like this. I love the guy.
Yeah, so he breaks it down like nobody's business, though. Hey, the smoking gun, where is it? And this doctor validates what he's saying. So what you can try to do is say, well, John's just a researcher and he doesn't know. Okay, but the doctors are saying the same thing. From Ron Paul to Rand Paul to...
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, right before the pause, I mentioned if you're not sick, lol, and if your body doesn't have any antibodies, and no one believes you have anything except for they test you, and the test comes back positive, and they say you're a super spreader, you're sick as all get out, buddy, you're about to kill everybody, but yet they're comparing it against a virus that they don't have isolated and they can't prove exists, and the test merely matches sequences that they, on their hunch or their whim, without scientific evidence, believe that it's the virus, then the cases, as Jeff Dice brings up, are absolutely absurd.
He writes this, Sam, mild or asymptomatic COVID cases are effectively meaningless. The world is full of bacteria and viruses, and sometimes they make us a bit sick for a few days. There are millions of them in the world all around us, on our skin, in our nose and respiratory tract, in our organs. We are meant to live with them, which is why we all have immune systems designed to help us coexist and adapt to ever-changing organisms. We develop antibodies naturally, or we attempt to stimulate them through vaccines, but ultimately our own immune systems have to deal with COVID-19. The virus will always be out there waiting on the other side of the current lockdown or the current masking mandate, so we might as well get on with it. From day one, the focus, writes Jeff Dice, should have been on boosting immunity through exercise, fresh air, sunlight, proper dietary supplementation, and the promotion of general well-being. Instead, our politicians, bureaucrats, and media insisted on business lockdowns, school closures, distancing, isolation, masks, and the mirage of a fast, effective vaccine. As with almost everything in life, state intervention made the situation worse. We can only hope many governors are removed from office, either by impeachment or at least the next election. Several, including Andrew Cuomo in New York and Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan, should face criminal charges for their lawless edicts. There is no due process exception for public health. Lockdowns were never justified, continues Jeff Dice here, either in terms of the COVID-19 risk or the staggering economic trade-offs which will be felt for decades. They certainly are not justified now, given 7 months of additional data showing that the transmission and lethality of COVID-19 are not particularly worse than previous SARS, swine flu, or Ebola pandemics. We still don't know how many of the reported 200,000 U.S. COVID-19 deaths were actually caused by COVID-19, or simply reflect people who died of other causes after exposure to COVID-19. We do know that the harms caused by the lockdowns far outweigh the harms posed by the COVID-19 virus. We've had nearly 8 months of life and liberty stolen from us by politicians and their hysteria promoting accomplices in the media. How much more will we accept? That's his question he ends his column with.
Well, and that question that he ends his column on, how much more abuse will we accept? Well, Ron Paul writes a column and answers that very question of what they've got planned next with their manipulated, dishonest agenda. Lol.
And that's the TRACE Act. It's H.R. 6666, entitled the TRACE Act, which stands for Testing, Reaching, and Contacting Everyone Act, right? DARPA basically is behind this. DARPA wants to institutionalize implantable biochips by 2021. That's next year. And so a watchdog group called Mint Press News discovered DARPA's move to institutionalize these biochips. And they write this. They said, once firmly implanted inside the body, human cells are at the mercy of any mRNA program delivered via this substrate, unleashing a nightmare of possibilities. This really is talking, Sam, about this this RNA, reprogrammable RNA. That's what this mRNA stands for. Basically, they could rewrite the human genome at a distance. Once you get this biochip implanted in you, they can send signals through this substrate, which would affect the RNA DNA of your body. It would actually modify the DNA of your body, which then it would begin creating cells and growing body parts and so forth in a way that was not designed by the creator. It's very futuristic, folks. It's very futuristic. They want to rob us of our humanity and our medical freedom. So Ron Paul writes this. He says, H.R. 6666 creates a Stasi-style police force with power to enter your home to conduct testing, contact tracing, and related activities, and for other purposes. What might those be? Well, to separate you from those who test positive or who refuse to comply with a test. That's what they want to do, Sam. A Stasi-style police force coming to a neighborhood near you.
And the problem is, this is almost difficult to discuss because DARPA wants to give you the, I don't know what you call this thing, the chip?
Yeah.
And they want to do it by what, 2021? There's evidence that DARPA wants to give you this chip or biochips by 2021. They'll be implantable. And what they'll do is they'll mess with your RNA, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they'll reprogram. See, the RNA is what is the replicator. The DNA is the template from which all cells are grown, right? And so the RNA comes along, and if you change the RNA, then you thereby change the DNA, which is what the cells are grown from. So who knows what will happen when they start playing around? I mean, they've done it with plants, right? That's what the Monsanto.
Yeah, and they're doing it with modified mosquitoes or genetically modified mosquitoes. They're about to release in Florida and Texas right now. This is not a game, folks, and this is not something they're thinking about. This is something that they're actively pursuing, not only on animals and plants and everything else. Everything in the world they want to genetically modify and manipulate. What they want to do is become the master thereof and try to challenge God as the creator. They want to kind of get their own creations in the mix, and it spells disaster for you and me. And it's under this HR 6666. Ron Paul does a phenomenal job breaking it down. Check out his column. Where is it at? RonPaulInstitute.com?
This one is both there and CampaignForLiberty.org, yeah.
CampaignForLiberty.org doing a phenomenal job as well. While that's all going on, while we're telling you the truth about the coronavirus, I guess Biden and Donald are just trying to punch each other in the nose, huh, Lowell?
That's what happened at their debate a couple weeks ago now. Yeah, and everybody agreed, watching the two, that it was just a waste of time. But I did notice this column by Ron Paul about that debate at CampaignForLiberty.org, and so I thought I would mention it. Basically, he said what everybody else said, that it was basically a debate with very little discussion of actual issues or policies, okay? We all agree on that. He then picked out a couple things. He said Trump criticized Biden for saying that he would listen to the scientists, quote-unquote, in determining whether to lock down the country.
Course, yeah, it all depends on how you define scientists. Now, see, John Rappaport doesn't qualify. He's a researcher. This doctor that I mentioned doesn't count. Dr. Andrew, he doesn't count because, you know, he's a doctor. And so it all depends on who you manipulate. What it comes down to is Fauci's going to tell you the story.
Yeah, and so it depends on which science, so-called scientists, you choose to listen to, right? Because I just read something the other day, 14,000 doctors and physicians have come out against the shutdowns, the masking, and all this.
But that's kind of like the 9/11 experts and stuff like that. Yeah. You can't listen to those guys. They're all crazy.
Yeah. So, Biden,
so again, they have a manipulated reality of what they focus on, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, see, Biden's going to be listening to people like Fauci. And hopefully Trump will get it right this time, even though he's talking about the vaccine, being available and being administered or at least distributed by the military. That's a little bit concerning. Anyway, so back to Ron Paul's column here. He says Biden denied being a socialist, even though if his economic plans were implemented, it would take America further down the road to socialism and serfdom. Oh, man, I just saw a video the other day, last night, Sam, about the socialism. Oh, God, it's a great video. I'm going to send it to you. It's just 15 minutes long, talking about the...
I'll be scared to check it out, sure, but I'll do so.
Anyway, okay, so back to Ron Paul's column. He says they did not discuss gun control, but both are bad on it. Biden was the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee when it passed the assault weapons ban and the Brady Bill. And then Trump, he's endorsed red flag laws. And, of course, the general government has no authority whatsoever for gun control, by the way. Zero. That was never delegated to the general government by the states. And so they really have no authority, zero authority there anyway. But they pretend they do, and they empower a BATF, and they empower tons of agencies with guns and ammunition so they can take you down for any...
Yeah, I'm waiting for President Donald Trump to shut down his first and whatever unconstitutional agency. Which one would he shut down first, and how do we get him there?
Yeah, well, me too. I sure hope it happens quick. And finally, Ron Paul says they did not discuss the federal debt of $27 trillion, which he, in his mind, is the biggest threat to our national security. Because just think what's going to happen when the other countries refuse to honor the dollar. Its value will drop to zero, and then what will we have? We'll be a bankrupt nation with no spending power, no purchasing power, and that's when gold and silver will have to become the commodity by which we trade products and services. So it's going to be a bad situation when that happens, but it's coming. And then finally, Sam, the best part of his whole column is this, his last column, the paragraph. He says, the debate is the latest evidence that the two major parties will not on their own restore our lost liberties. That's pretty obvious to those of us who have been in this game for a long time. Then he says this, those who want to roll back the welfare warfare state should avoid focusing on political parties and personalities. Instead, focus on spreading the ideas of liberty among our fellow citizens and building a liberty movement that puts principles of liberty above partisanship. Sam, and that's what you and Kurt do every day on the radio. You are putting forth the liberty movement. You're educating people right and left about the principles of liberty, of which putting principle above, party and above all of these other concerns. So hats off to you two for doing that. And I just love being able to talk about some of these important things on your show.
Well, and it takes a lot of us working together to make this happen, ladies and gentlemen. We're not really interested in taking credit. But I will say that we are absolutely grateful to be part of the solutions in America today. There's very few people that really focus on solutions, Kurt.
Well, and then you've got, hats off to a guy like, to Lowell Nelson for his undying effort to bring these truths to you, ladies and gentlemen. Without him and so many like him that we associate with, our efforts would be, very weaker, much weaker. And so thank you, Lowell, and of course, great work, Sam, on the Red Pill Expo stuff.
Well, and I will say this, when I'm surrounded by people like Lowell Nelson and people like G. Edward Griffin and people like Alex Newman and all these different people, buddy, it just gives me courage. I just think, you know what? With guys like Kurt Cosby and Lowell Nelson surrounding us and Scott Bradley and G. Edward Griffin, all these people that I mentioned, it just gives you hope for America that, the Lord thinned out his forces and was successful as well. So we don't need greater numbers. What we need is dedicated, righteous, God-fearing, God-following people to stand for the sacred cause of liberty, and that's what we hope to be part of. Hour one in the can. Thank you, Lowell. Hour two coming up with Dr. Scott Bradley, Sam Bushman, Kurt Cosby, all in the round table. And we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and indeed will restore our grand old republic. Please get involved. Make it a great day and choose the right, will you? LovingLiberty.net, our website. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.